You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran. Today is May Day. That is right. May 1st is International Workers' Day. And every day, as part of the working class, we commit ourselves to building towards the radical transformation of our society by the working class. Our labor makes every aspect of society run. So why shouldn't we, as the workers, make decisions instead of leaving that to the ultra-rich who will contribute nothing of value to our society? May Day is a time to take to the streets and say what is working for the working class and how the working class should have the power. The countless millions of people who are in the streets today celebrating International Workers' Day are struggling against a world capitalist system that seems to take more and more brutal with each passing year. Today's holiday was founded by people who wanted to end once and for all the exploitation of workers by their bosses and end all the different types of oppression the working class is subjected to. May Day is about indicting the system and life under this system that has become even more unbearable and brutal in the last year. As this historic crime of the genocide in Gaza and Palestine is being committed, the system is representing us with a choice in the presidential election that makes most workers nauseous. These choices are, as we know, Joe Biden and Donald Trump. They are among the most unpopular figures in the country and each have a long record of loyal service to the billionaire class. We know that while President Trump cut taxes for the rich and corporations by $2 million, he also slashed health and safety regulations that were meant to protect workers and their communities and installed the Supreme Court justices that go on to end abortion rights and affirmative action. In addition to his crimes in Gaza, Biden banned railroad workers from going on strike, if we remember that. And he also wasted over $100 billion on the war in Ukraine and abandoned all of his promises to improve people's lives with expanded social programs. Now, while we listen to politicians lecture us about democratic values, the planet is also burning. Let's not forget that. Climate change has been accelerated. 2023, if we remember, was one of the hottest year on record, especially right here in Florida. And 2024 is on track to be even hotter. Wildfires, intense hurricanes, widespread floodings, and other disasters are actually increasing in frequency and happening more and more often. The vast majority of capitalist politicians wants to do practically nothing. In fact, this year, the Conference of the Parties Summit, organized by the United Nations, was supposed to be the world's premier forum on the fight against climate change, and it was actually presided over the liberal oil executives. Imagine that. The coming COP, or the Conference of Parties Summit, later this year is also said to have an oil executive as its president. So, you know, all of these injustices have one common root, which is the political and economic power that is held by a tiny handful of millionaires and billionaires who makes decisions for war, for example. They decide who is invited to the donor retreats that determine who's a viable presidential candidate. They determine who sets environmental policy and who owns the energy grid. So May Day is time to take it to the street and to say that it is the working class that should have the power. Our labor market, like we said before, makes every aspect of society run. So why shouldn't the workers make the decisions instead of leaving that to the ultra rich who contribute, again, nothing of value to our society? We know that in order for this to change, we will probably need to have a revolution. You know, and a revolution is really when one class takes the power from another class. They have happened throughout history when oppressed people decide that they can no longer live under the tyranny of their oppressors. We know that no one can predict what a revolution will look like, but it is clear that only the working class can transform society. So on International Workers Day, today, May Day, and every single day, we must commit ourselves to building that transformation of society. We will go ahead and take a short break. Now for the second part, if you are just joining us, you are listening to The Ruthless Truth. During the first part of our show, we provided information discussed about May Day, which is International Workers' Day, which we are celebrating today. And now during the second part of our program, we will speak a little bit about the encampment at USF that is put together by the students at USF. And well, to help us with that discussion, we have with us Comrade Bobby. Bobby, welcome. And thank you so much for being with us and for being willing to speak with us about your experience at the USF encampment in the last couple of days.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yes. Yeah, so, Bobby, I want to start by listening to one of the interviews that Comrade Payton was able to take for our show from one of the students. So let's go ahead and listen.
So I'm a student organizer here at the University of South Florida, and I am out here advocating for a free Palestine, an end to the colonization through Israel and the West's ideals in the Middle East being of the colonial mindset. And I'm calling for a ceasefire in Gaza as well, as Israel ruthlessly bombards civilians in the Gaza Strip and even particularly in Rafah, which has become the most densely populated place in the world currently. As for why else I'm out here, it's also a thing of understanding that these struggles are interconnected. The struggles that I personally face as being a transgender individual are interconnected against me and other people who are, say, people of color or other queer people or disabled people. All of us have been put under others by the Western colonial mindset. And in my personal belief, it is up to the people and more likely the African working class to grow and realize their potential as a free, liberated people from white settler colonialism and the state of not only just the United States of America, but Western European ideals.
Thank you so much. And I guess if you want to, do you want to speak to the police violence you saw here today? I know this is a similar sentiment across all, you know, campuses that have had encampments, just the amount of police violence. So maybe if you want to speak to what you've seen today and the USFPD.
Yeah, so USFPD has been easily one of the most violent police forces I've ever seen in my time here, compared to other police forces such as the Tampa Police Department and the Sheriff's Department, which are equally as violent. It has been astounding to see, though. They may just as be as equally as violent, but they are even more vile in their tactics, picking off students who are off by themselves and actively hunting down and wanting to be attacking these students. Today, we saw them shove multiple people into the dirt, and the only reason one person didn't get shoved into the dirt is because he completely complied and just tried his best to not do so. The only reason that he was okay and not slammed into the dirt is because he simply accepted the false arrest that happened to him, and all the others protesters decided to, rightly so, fight for the freedom of themselves to peacefully protest in the middle of a public campus. And the police came here and decided that it was up to them to arrest and brutalize these people. One student getting slammed into the dirt repeatedly so much that his kufiya almost came completely off his face.
I guess just to wrap up, if there's anything you'd like to tell our viewers, now is the chance to do so, how we can best support you and students around the country.
Donate to bail funds. Use your social media to be present at these campuses in a way that if you can't be on these campuses themselves due to work or other school complications, donate, be posting about it on social media, be present. Be an active supporter. You cannot stand by in this genocide because that makes you complicit. That means that part of the reason that Palestinians are dead falls on your hands. Some of their blood falls on their hands. And another thing I want to say is go against your police departments. Never trust that they will keep you safe. Police department's goal is not to keep you safe. Police department's goal is to arrest you and increase their numbers so that they can get more military funding to do and do the same thing. The police are the will of the state. They control and protect the big earners and politicians of your city, county, state, country, whoever. The police are not your friends. The military are not your friends. It doesn't matter what you say. The only people who can keep you safe is another person in the same struggle as you. As is often said at these rallies, who keep us safe? We keep us safe. And that's the only rule.
Thank you so much.
Wow, what an amazing interview. What are your thoughts, Bobby?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts. I mean, everything he said was like just like completely hit the nail on the head. I think the most important thing that he talked about that I want to, you know, expand on a little bit is the role of the police. Like, it sounded like from what he was describing, the events that occurred on Monday, the first day of the encampment, where they arrested three people for just trying to set up a tent. So, and they were, you know, throwing people to the ground, pushing people, just incredibly violent over what is essentially like nothing, like a group of mostly college kids setting up a tent on the grass. And they were responding with that level of violence on day one. And then on the second day, it was even more escalated, the amount of police violence that they enacted against the students, because when I arrived at the encampment, the students were, you know, kind of standing in a circle, around trying to set up some tents. And when five rolled around, they started saying like, they started, you know, saying this is a an unlawful assembly. And then after just like a few minutes started shooting tear gas at people and like running at the protesters, chasing them down on bikes. Unimaginable, like shooting rubber bullets at people. It was just indescribable. Like, I'm still like struggling to even process like what I witnessed yesterday. But yeah, just the fact that the police, you know, and in both days, like what we saw was just essentially, you know, college kids trying to set up tents on the grass at their college, trying to protest a genocide, as he said in that interview, trying to stand, you know, with the people of Palestine against genocide and colonial occupation and apartheid. And their response to this is to use chemical weapons against them and terrorize them. Like, it's just I don't even want to say it's unbelievable, because, you know, I mean, we know that the police are just completely enemies of people. They're always going to side with the existing institutions that profit off of, you know, genocide, and they're always going to fight against the people whenever we try to stand up and say that, you know, we're not going to take this anymore, that we're not going to be complicit in these institutions that, you know, are invested in genocide. Yeah, I think that's the main thing that I wanted to kind of say about that. But
Yes, I mean, yesterday was really wild. I could not believe the images and videos that were being posted online, you know, from people that were there on the ground, people like yourself. And the police brutalized students at the encampment, and they also arrested more people yesterday, right? My understanding is that it's around 10 people that they ended up arresting on day two of the encampment.
Yes, I think so, 9 or 10 people. I've heard different numbers. I don't want to say like for sure because it's still like I don't have the exact correct number, but I believe 9 or 10 people. And yeah, I mean, just like incredible levels of violence yesterday. And that's, you know, under a Democratic president, you know, 4 years ago, they in 2020, when we saw, you know, a similar level of police violence against what was, I mean, not that police violence is ever acceptable, but in 2020, it was a similar amount of police violence against enormous crowds. And people were saying, oh, this is why we have to vote for Biden, because Trump is going to use the police to crack down on the people. And now we're seeing we have a Democratic president, and all across the country, student encampments are getting cracked down on, just the same way that happened at USF. You know, the same, just a little bit later, the same night, like the same evening that the police cracked down on USF, later that night, we saw the NYPD invade the Columbia encampment, like hundreds of police officers storming in, not letting any press or legal observers come in to watch them, you know, brutalize these students. And, you know, at USF, it was a pretty small group of people, like all things considered, like maybe like 75 to 100 people on the lawn. And they're using the same amount of violence to crush that small group of people that they were using in 2020 to try to disperse crowds of like thousands of people. And that's, yeah, under a president who is, you know, supposedly so much more, places so much more value on, you know, American democracy or whatever that is even supposed to mean. Because, like, really, I mean, this country has been fascist since its inception. You know, studying history, when you read about, like slavery and all of these like horrible atrocities that our country committed, it's like, we know that the United States is fascist, but yesterday was a little bit of like a wake up call for me, because, you know, it's one thing to study the history and know, but then it's another thing to like see it being carried out in front of you. So, yeah.
And now I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because that is the most important thing that we are noticing, is how governments and institutions use the police almost as their private army. You know, think about it in those terms, almost as their private army to stop any uprising and anything that, you know, people may take a strong stand against, like they are doing right now, when they are calling these institutions to divest and basically to stop the genocide. So I'm glad that you highlighted that. That is one of the main takeaways. You know, it was shaking for me to also even see the videos, even though I wasn't there. So I completely understand how you feel of, you know, the tear gas, the rubber bullets, and just the brute force. We know that at least one of the people that were arrested is actually in the hospital. They are also charging peaceful protesters with, you know, felony charges, inciting a riot and so on. Things that actually were started by the police, because the video clearly showed, you know, peaceful protesters just standing on the lawn, like actually not doing anything. And now the police did not only attack them, use tear gas, which is actually a chemical weapon, use rubber bullets, and you know, were chased down people that were leaving, which is something that was very surprising to see on day number two, where even if you decided to leave, the police actually chased down people who were leaving in order to arrest them and to destroy their lives, right? Which is something that we can see through the charges that the people are facing now. They are now going to have criminal charges. I mean, many of these people are people who have never been arrested before, you know? So it was just outrageous to see the amount of violence on behalf of the police, the amount of, you know, even resources that are being wasted on this, because we did see several law enforcement agencies. I know the troopers were there, the sheriff department were there, university cops, regular cops were also there. It's like pulling all of these resources just to be able to criminalize protesters and try to stop the movement, which will not stop. You know, this is something that we have seen. And Bobby, I have to tell you, I am so happy for all the students that are taking this stand. We know that student movement of the past played a major role in passing civil rights, played a major role in stopping the apartheid in South Africa. This is, you know, actions that have taken place in the past and that are lessons to the students of today. And I am just so excited that the students are taking this opportunity to take a strong stand and to send a strong message to the government that, you know, this genocide will not continue to be funded and supported on the name of the average American person. We know that it is just the government that is supporting the genocide, but that people inside the United States actually reject this. Now, Bobby, when the attack happened, it is my understanding that you and another comrade had to hide, right? Tell us a little bit about that. Why do you have to hide? Why couldn't you just walk away at that time?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, they were, you know, chasing people down. They were using chemical weapons on us, rubber bullets, like trying to terrorize people. And, you know, I mean, that's all the police really do, right? Like they really are like the largest terrorist organization in the United States. But really? Yeah, so when everything started happening, like I was kind of like overcome by this, like, okay, I just need to like remove myself from this situation. I need to like just go somewhere and make sure that I'm like safe. So I just, you know, turned around and started running basically. And like I didn't even look back. I just, you know, basically beelined it for the closest bathroom. And yeah, so I went into the bathroom and I just waited inside of there for however, I don't even know how long, like 10 minutes maybe, with another comrade who was with me. And yeah, it was just like a very tense doesn't even begin to describe the feeling. Just like, yeah, just like terror, like that kind of overcame certainly myself. I don't know, I can't speak for anyone else, but I mean, these are like the tactics of the police, is to kind of like instill this feeling of terror within the population that, you know, if you dare to stand out, to step out of line, like if you dare to stand up, like we're gonna just go absolutely crazy and unleash this like incredible level of violence against people.
Mm-hmm. It is just wild that is what happened. You know, what is actually or was a small USF encampment on the students. Now, before we continue, I do want to make a call because we know that Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society, or SDS, were, you know, one of the leading organizations, and they are looking for people to donate to their bail fund. Most of the students ended up getting charged with misdemeanors, but there are a couple of students that have been charged with, not students, but like protesters, I should say, that have been charged with felony charges. So they will need, more money to be able to be bailed out. So please look up Tampa Bay SDS, Tampa Bay SDS, and on social media. And also the USF Divest Coalition is also involved. There you can see a lot of, you can see many of the videos of the arrest, and you can see the level of violence that took place during that time. Now, I do want to end on a good note, Bobby, and I think that you, I hope that you have seen this video by now, But in the University of Texas, we did see, you know, how there was a really big police presence and how they actually ended up arresting many protesters and, you know, just taking over the encampment and destroying it. However, a couple of days later, you know, people came back in numbers, and the video actually shows us how they were pushing back on the police line and how the police had to actually retrieve and, you know, just walk back their steps because they were outnumbered, you know, by a large majority. And I think this is something that will happen here in Tampa at USF. I think that the police, you know, was able to do a lot of damage and destroy a lot of the properties of the students and arrest a lot of the students. But however, this is something that is building up. We are seeing people travel from, you know, the entire Tampa Bay area, even from Orlando with the Palestine Network. So I am expecting that something similar will happen as people continue to come to USF and continue to support the students in Capman and just show up for them, you know, that eventually we will have a number that it will be large enough to actually make the police walk back and outnumber them by a large number, which seems to be, you know, the only thing that is shown to have any power, you know, something, one way that we can make them actually walk back and leave the students alone is if we show up by the numbers. So I want to invite all of our listeners to stay aware, to, you know, look up Tampa Bay SDS and the USF Divest Coalition. Look them up on social media for the next time that they will be getting together on campus. I mean, just come out and support this and say no to police repression. Say no to the criminalization, the brutal force that was used against students and other protesters. We do have a right to protest our government. So I want to encourage everyone who is listening to us today to do come out and to fight back against police repression. They are using this repression against USF students right now, but it could be us tomorrow if we decide to, you know, protest anything, including, you know, not being able to leave on a single paycheck because of the amount of, you know, how high our cost of living is. We know that if we ever decide to take a stand, police will also use these tactics against us. So I want to encourage everyone to come out and to take a stand against the police. Bobby, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, repression breeds resistance. You know, the students at the encampment, they were, you know, as much as the police were trying to instill this sense of terror, the students were, you know, ready to try and, you know, fight back, basically, to say, like, no, like, we're going to stay and, you know, like, we have our right to, you know, protest a genocide, and we're going to do that. And, you know, they were ultimately dispersed, but it's what we've seen across the country with, you know, ever since they tried dispersing the encampment at Columbia, which kind of like led to this, you know, huge outgrowth of student encampments across the country in response to that. And, you know, I don't know, like, because, you know, yesterday they crushed multiple encampments, including Columbia, and I haven't seen any news really since then, but I have seen that students are still forming encampments. I don't remember the name, but I saw people this morning that students were still establishing encampments at various universities. And yeah, I mean, the people, the students, you know, nobody is going to stop fighting for a free Palestine and, you know, an end to the genocide and occupation.
Unfortunately, we are out of time during our show, but I love your final words that we will not stop fighting until Palestine is free. For our viewers, thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you again next week. And until then, I hope you find the courage to get up, stand up, and not give up the fight.
Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me what to do. Help me out, Lord, heaven is on.